We're doing the Nedivot Shalom on Parshat Pinchas. The topic is La Eile Techalek Haaretz. These are the people to whom the land will be divided. The Talmud tells us in Tractate Baba Basra, there is an argument, a machlokus between Rabbi Yoshaya and Rabbi Yonasan. Im leyotzei Mitzrayim nitralka aretz o lebe'ei aretz. Who is the verse referring to? Does the count go by the Jews who left Egypt? Or does the count go by those who entered the land of Israel? How do we divide up the land when we have to calculate the Jewish people? Do we look at them? Do we divide the families based on their numbers when they left Egypt or when they entered Israel? So the Talmud in Baba Basra goes into the sources from the text, why each opinion holds their opinion. And the Netivot Shalom is going to take their machloket and show us how we can learn from it on a personal level regarding our own service of Hashem. So we can understand their disagreement in line with our service of Hashem. We know in the service of Hashem there are two major components. One is sur meira. One has to veer away from that which is evil. And number two is asei tov. One has to be proactive in doing good. Two aspects to avodas Hashem. Yotzei Mitzrayim ayunyan sur meira. The people leaving Exodus, so that was the idea to veer away from evil. Leichaletz v'latzet miklipat Mitzrayim. They had to break free from the encasing of the Egyptian culture, the Egyptian way of life, and the evil that was rampant in Egypt. But the people coming to the land, they excelled in this concept of being proactive, doing good. They enter the land which Hashem is fully focused on, the land that's connected to Hashem. And even though technically, if one wants to be complete, to be whole in his service of Hashem, then he has to unify both aspects. You have to do both. You have to veer away from that which is evil, and you have to be proactive in doing good. But their disagreement can be understood as a disagreement as to what is the main part of the service of Hashem. And in what do we fulfill the essence of Hashem's desire? The essence of the service of Hashem is symbolized by the inheritance of the land of Israel. You're getting something which is godly. What does it mean to own a part of the land of Israel? It means to own something which is unique in the whole world. Like people say, real estate in Israel will only go up because there's a small amount of land and a tremendous amount of Jews. And there's only so much Israel to go around. So the land of Israel symbolizes this idea of the essence of Avodas Hashem, the service of Hashem. And the question is, how do you get there? Is the main component veering away from that which is evil, or is the main component being proactive in doing that which is good? And when it comes to inheriting the land of Israel, we also find two components. Zayin shekavshu, v'zayin shechalku. 7 years they spent conquering the land, 7 years they spent dividing the land. The 7 years of conquering correspond to, they symbolize the seven traits that the Yetzer Hara takes control of. The first job a person has to do is to take control, to take back those seven traits. The idea of the 7 years of dividing the land of Israel is like the Baal Shem Tov said, when a person finds himself loving that which is evil, He's suddenly aroused, he's attracted to something evil. So the Baal Shem Tov said, a person has to know that evil doesn't descend from heaven. That's not heaven sent. Ela sheni'nu lo ata min ha-shamayim matanat midat ha-ava, kedei she'achnisa el ha-kedusha ba-avodat Hashem. What happens is, love is aroused from within. From heaven, they gave him this arousal to love. And he has a choice where to guide it. Meaning, there's an arousal from within. There's a desire to give. There's a desire to connect. Now we have to channel it. A person has to channel it to the love of Hashem, to the love of Israel. Ukmochen b'chol amidot. And this is true with regard to every trait. And here, maybe... it's worth quoting. I think it was the Magen Midvna. I might be confusing the Drash Saran with the Magen Midvna, but I'm pretty sure it was the Magen Midvna who said, why do we begin our lives as children? You look at a child, and it's very interesting to see the ferocity with, you say ferocity?
Ferocity.
Ferocity. I'll regain my English eventually. Ferocious ferocity. With which a child has emotions. Last night, it's like 12:30, 1 in the morning, and our baby daughter gets up. And her mother wasn't around for a few minutes. So it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm holding, she's 7 months old, 8 months old, and she's upset. She wants her mother. So you see the intense look with which she's wailing. And I'm trying to calm her down, and she's grasping at my beard, pulling it in every direction. I will not calm down. I want my mother. Okay? So as a parent, it's very humorous. You know, you don't get too excited. You know, in a minute or two, she'll have her mother. But it was so amazing to see the intensity with which she expressed her emotions. She's all upset. Her whole body shrivels up and she's yelling. And the only thing that matters right now is I want my mommy. Okay, legitimate. So you look at an 8-month-old and you see they can express their emotions. They could yell, grab at my beard and pull. And that's their emotion. You move forward a stage. You go to a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old. When they want that lollipop, they could wail at the top of their lungs, and right now it's a disaster. They're not getting the lollipop they want. You advance a little, it's the 5-year-old. Well, he might also wail over a lollipop. Go to the 10-year-old, so then it's about pride. But you see all these traits developing. My dad is greater than your dad. Well, my dad has 2 hammers, and my dad has a ladder. And you see different traits developing. It's immature, right? But it's traits. It's pride, it's anger, it's love. You see the way a girl will comb her hair, hold her doll. There are emotions that develop. Says the Magen Midvna, what's happening here? Initially, as we develop, we have very potent feelings. Our emotions go wild over things that are really worthless. And then we mature, and we start learning about what has value in life. So the Magen Midvna says, what's happening is, first Hashem shows us how to develop our emotions. First we develop the potential to be angry, to be sad, to be happy, to love, to connect. Important emotions. We develop them over mundane, stupid things. And then we have to learn to apply them to important things. To apply the right emotion to human beings, the right emotion to kindness, the right emotion to evil. A person could be angry at people who are kind and love people who are evil. Or he could choose to be angry at people who are evil and love people who are kind. But first he has to know what it means to love. So he begins by having those emotions with a ferocity that's unusual, that's uncanny. What's going on here? The baby's wailing at me because she wants her mother. I'm holding her, I'm kissing her, I'm singing to her. That doesn't cause her to flinch. No, she's pulling at my beard. She's upset. That's important. She's learning and developing that emotion. Later on, she'll channel it in the right direction. So the Baal Shem Tov says, when a person finds himself attracted, when a person finds himself loving something that's really bad, he has to realize that from heaven they helped him arouse that emotion. And now it's up to him to channel it in the right direction. Ukmochen bechol amidot. That's true about every trait. V'gam lemanda amar lebe'aretz nitchalka. And even if we go with the opinion that says the land of Israel was divided among the people who entered the land of Israel, shetachlit avodat Hashem yasei tov. He says the essence, the focus in the service of Hashem is the proactive doing good. Eino yachol la'agia liot mibe'aretz. He also agrees that first they had 7 years conquering. First one has to work on veering away from evil before he can advance to doing good. The only thing is, he says the essence of what we're here for is not just to conquer the evil, but also to be proactive and do good. That's the essence. So that's one angle. Another angle of understanding their argument is, when we look back at that generation that left Egypt, they are called Dor De'a. The Zohar and other works write that throughout world history there was never a generation like that generation, and there never will be. And the generation that entered the land of Israel were on a lower level. They weren't on the same level. The Sephorno writes that when the Jews were counted, when they left Egypt, so initially it says, Lemishpechotam, Levet Avotam, their families according to their fathers' houses. And then when we come to enter the land of Israel, in our parsha, that all it says is, Lemishpechotam, in accordance with their family. When you count their names, so then that's because they're exceptional. Each one deserves to be counted, each family, each father's house. It's unique when you know someone by name. Think about it. If the prime minister came into Machon Meir and said, hey, I'm looking for Yechiel. So Yechiel thinks, hey, wants me, knows me by name. Okay. Something good. Okay. When you know someone by name, it shows they're important. The generation that left Egypt had that title where it says count them by their families, by their names of their father's houses. Because each one, each family, each father's house had a unique name that deserved mention. But the generation that came into Israel was already grouped into much larger groupings, just the families. So the generation that came into Israel was a generation that Haita bigi'a b'avodat Hashem. They worked hard in the service of Hashem. The generation that left Egypt, they were giants. The generation that left that entered Israel were a generation that toiled. Now, the question when we ask, who do we count to divide the land, is again a question, do I look at the generation that left Egypt, where they were dol de'a, they were on such a high level, they were on the level that ultimately merited receiving the land of Israel, or do I say no? Bottom line, the ones who reached Israel were the next generation. And the truth is, he says, that you need to take both traits in one. You need to take the trait of Dor De'a, that exalted generation that connected to Hashem on a high level. You need to take the generation that worked hard. She'en Yehudim magia l'shlemut avodat Hashem. The only way a Jew can attain the wholeness and the service of Hashem, ela kasher mitachdin etzlo bet avodot, when he could put the two together, De'a, his intellectual connection with Hashem, like that generation that left Egypt, vaygia, and work. Can't have one without the other. People sometimes think, I'll come, I'll learn the philosophies, I'll understand, I'll connect to God. No, it's not enough. There's the work. Like the generation that entered Israel, they worked hard. That was their greatness. They worked at conquering, at dividing. They were a nation that worked hard at maintaining the Torah. It wasn't the same as the generation that left Egypt. The generation that left Egypt were a bunch of geniuses. They soared to heights. They all saw prophecy. They were a generation we can't fathom. So they were great on the intellectual level, but they weren't on the same level on the toiling, where the generation entering Israel worked hard and toiled. And the idea is you need both. And that's and through both you get an eternal existence in the land of Israel. So each generation has their strength, and he wants to say that's the machlokas, where you put the strength between the stress between the two generations. Before I get to you two, Yaakov was waiting. Sorry. Ah, you were just stretching? I saw your hand up. I wasn't sure. So who's first between two of you? Aviel, yeah.
2 seconds. I was under the impression that the generation that left Egypt was given a great gift, like the generation that after they got the state of Israel, I mean, not about the same level, but they didn't necessarily merit it be geniuses. I mean, you know, a Yamsuf, the lowest handmaiden, I mean, never, nobody said she's a great intellect based on, you know, it was more, she, as part of this, got to see great heights, but it wasn't stayed with them internally the way you work at something. Proof is they started complaining immediately afterwards, and they didn't stay at that level. So I never really thought of them as an intellectually, you know, high level generation, a spiritually high level for certain, because it was like they say about messianic times, you know, you have free will, like you do not jumping into fire. They could not disobey at least for a few hours or a few days. But I don't think intellectual really summed it up. Did they really have an understanding of Hashem in a different way, or was it just they just felt the presence? That's the way I was thought of it. Is that clear? Or,
I hear you. I don't know. Meaning the Zohar calls them a Dor De'ah. And De'ah ordinarily means knowledge, but De'ah could also mean connection. So I'm not sure what the Zohar means as a Dor De'ah.
With the feelings, no? Not with their understanding.
I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm asking. The way that Rob explained it, it sounded like intellectual generally connotates an understanding.
You can't be a genius and you have a problem with your anger. With your feelings.
I think.
Well, you can. There are many geniuses who are incredibly messed up. That was an example with the 9-month-old is cute. And a 40-year-old who gets cut off in traffic and goes berserk, he could be a genius and still be at the wrong level. You could be a Hey Haman. And, you know, if someone doesn't bow down, you take down the whole world. So that part, you can be a genius and still be 2 years old in some ways. That's I don't have a question about that.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the accurate translation of Dor De'ah. I do think the commentaries understand it on an intellectual level, but I'm not sure.
Okay. The question is a little bit similar to Aviel's, but the other side. When you say that the generation of the Jews who left Egypt, they had the intellectual greatness, and the Jews who the generation after that went into Eretz Yisrael had the toil. I want to know what you mean by they had the toil and the previous generation didn't. Because were the previous generation not slaves where they were toiling with hard labor and everything? Like, what do you mean by toil with this?
He means toiling in the service of Hashem, working hard at the mitzvot and entering and conquering the land and settling the land and doing the mitzvot. That's what he means by toil. Toiling in the service of Hashem.
Okay.